on the course to finish their third round. But right now, it's time to talk about some hot topics in the world of golf as we do each and every week. It's time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It's your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour? Take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, first one is for you, and the question is somewhat simple. I'll give you the lead up, and then I'll ask you the question after that. But we realize Tiger Woods right now is on an amazing, amazing run. He has won five straight PGA Tour events. He's won six straight sanctioned events worldwide, if you count the European PGA Tour's Dubai Desert Classic. And he's won seven events in a row, if you also count silly season events, the Target World Challenge. He's getting into the rarefied air of the Edwin Moseses and the UCLA Bruins. You know, Moses won 122 consecutive 400-meter hurdle races back in the 70s and early 80s. The UCLA Bruins won 88 consecutive basketball games between 1971 and 1974. Of course, Rocky Marciano won his entire career without losing, 49-0. Tiger is now the Goliath on the sports world, and he's that rare Goliath, unlike the Wilt Chamberlains. And Wilt always says that, you know, he always said the fans hated me because they hate Goliath. They always root for David, but it seems like the fans root for Tiger in this situation. So my question to you is, are you rooting for the Goliath that is Tiger Woods?
Well, I listening to me, you know, for whatever reason, I often have to check my own sanity because I just don't like Tiger. I didn't like him, especially early on with the fist pumping and all that stuff. I'm old school, as you know, Russ. So that kind of stuff was like just alien to me. Like, I grew up watching Jack Nicklaus, and he comported himself in a certain way, and I thought that's the way you should comport yourself playing golf. Now, the older I get, the older Tiger gets, the more appreciation I have for what he is doing. I still am not ready to concede, like, oh, I want to see him break all the records. But at the same time, it is a phenomenon that you're watching now. It's something, as both you and I know and can relate to, because we do play golf. We're not nearly on this level, but we understand, at least on a superficial level, how hard it is to play the game. So somebody being able to master what I'm considering the hardest game to play and do it in such a way with all the eyes on him, all the pressure, everything else, and he seems to even get better with that, it is, to say the very least, impressive. I mean, it's unprecedented. It's illogical. It's bizarre to watch this because of how hard this game and how much luck, for lack of a better term, does play in this game. You can hit a good shot, as you and I both know, and it hits a sprinkler head or it ends up in a divot or something like that. And that's all it takes sometimes to derail a whole round of golf.
That's when I use my foot wedge.
He can't do that because he's got too many people watching him. It's just the game is so fickle. It's 1 millimeter off on a swing, you can hit a ball in the water. You can hit it behind a tree, anything. He's able to overcome all that stuff. He's able to rise his level to such heights that I just think other people are rightfully so in awe of it. Now, with all that said, hey, am I rooting for him today? In a way, I am, because I would like I've always said, I'd like to actually see him take an honest run and say he's doing it at Byron Nelson's record, because I think he could break that. And to me, that's almost as impressive, if not more so, if he won the Grand Slam or beat Jack Nicklaus's major record, because I think he's going to do both of those at some point. But this is such a feat that it's beyond DiMaggio's record. It's beyond UCLA's winning streak. It's beyond Edwin Moses. It's beyond all that stuff. To win 11 in a row golf tournaments is unbelievable. Russ, you probably don't remember this. You're still young enough. Back in the mid-80s, if you won two tournaments in a row, it was like, oh, my God, right, this guy's the hottest thing.
Jack Nicklaus never won more than three in a row in his career.
I remember Peter Jacobson, I think, won three in a row at one time. And he took the fourth one off because of his wife's birthday or something. And me and my dad went ballistic. We're like, oh, like, can you take up? You're 1-3 in a row. Like, it never happens. You got to keep going until the streak ends because you're never going to hit this. Tiger's done that now three times.
Right.
He's won, like you said, 5-6 in a row now three times.
He's the only guy. And it's only been done five times overall. Byron Nelson did the 11 in a row. Ben Hogan once won six in a row.
And Tiger's
won seven in a row, six in a row, and now five in a row. So five times total in the history of golf.
Russ.
And and Tiger's done it three times out of five.
You want to talk about David and Goliath? This isn't even an argument. I mean, he's five Goliaths versus a David. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch. And I want to see one final point on this thing is watching the tournament last week with Bart Bryant playing, and you could just see he's playing like this, the percentage. He's like, I'm right there, I'm tied for the lead, I'm going to try and put the pressure on Tiger on 16, 17, and 18, especially 18, where, you know, he even said, look, it wasn't like he lagged that putt, but he just tried to get it around so he could make the par and put it.
I give him credit. He played mistake free.
Here's what my thought was watching that. I'm like, dude, you are going to lose this tournament. You can't think like a normal person and putting pressure on other normal golfers. He is going to birdie 17 or 18 and beat your ass. And I'm like, so it didn't surprise me at all.
And that's what he did. He made that 24
footer. I'm like, you can't. The one thing I do hope Tiger imposes or presses upon these other guys is you got to think differently than you ever thought playing anybody else playing golf. Bryant had to go to that 18 and be like, I got to will this ball in the hole. Whatever I got to do, I don't care if I run it 5 feet by and miss it. You can't have that same thought process that, I'll put the pressure on him. That ain't going to work. But he thrives on that.
But, Pat, it's impossible for anybody besides Tiger to almost change their mindset mid-round.
I agree with you, but maybe that's what he can do.
But Bryant's mindset all up until that point on 18 was play mistake-free, and he had. And to his credit, he was the only guy that was pressuring Tiger. It was between Bart Bryant and Tiger Woods at Bay Hill last week, and Bryant got there because he hadn't made any mistakes that day, and he didn't birdie 18, but he made par. He forced Tiger to have to birdie 18, and you should have seen me in my living room last Sunday. I was going berserk. I mean, when Tiger made that 24-footer from left to right, I was just, like, screaming at the top of my lungs. My wife came down from downstairs, and she said, is everything okay? She's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, Tiger just made a 24-footer. Oh, my God. It's awesome.
I love that the celebration was great and all that. I like that better than the fist pump.
It was unbridled passion, and it was real. It was so spur of the moment. I want to see. I root for Goliath, obviously. I root for Tiger Woods. I picked him last week. You picked Chad Campbell, by the way, last week. I don't even see where he finished.
He shot like a round even par. He did nothing.
Pat, you can pick Tiger if you want. You don't have to not pick him just because I pick him. I'll make
a deal with you. If you give me the field when you're going to pick Tiger, I'll start taking that bet.
Well, here's my point. I root for Tiger. I root for him to continue this string, just like I rooted for Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and the Chicago Bulls back in the 90s when they won 72 games. They went 72-10 in 1996. I love seeing records set, but I don't want to see it in a walkover. And that's why I liked last week at Bay Hill. That's why I like seeing Bryant push Tiger and force him to make that putt. And then, even better, is Tiger raising to the occasion and doing it and doing what he has to do. He had to make that putt or else it went to a playoff. He made the putt. He had to make the 8-footer against Bob May in the 2002 PGA Champion or the 2000 PGA Championship at Valhalla. He made the 8-footer. If he misses that 8-footer, Bob May wins the PGA.
Right.
He makes it. They go to a playoff. I mean, I love seeing players put Tiger in a situation that he has no other choice but to perform, and then seeing him do exactly that. Unfortunately, it's not often enough that we see other players push Tiger. You know, for his career, Tiger's won nearly 30% of the time he's teed it up. 64 wins in 219 starts. Second active is Phil Mickelson at 9%. Phil's only won 33 times in 351 starts. The second best guy to Tiger, unfortunately, is not playing anymore. It's Jack Nicklaus. Jack won 12.7% of the times. It's too bad that the guy that probably could best push Tiger is Jack, and he doesn't play anymore. That's the unfortunate thing as far as I see it.
Well, I know we're out with this topic, but here's my last point on this. I root for David most of the time because I like to see the reaction or how Goliath takes to a defeat. That's why I don't root for Duke. I generally don't root for the Yankees. I don't root for the New England Patriots. I want to see how those teams deal with losing. I want to see if they deal with it graciously. If you know, because that's part of being a champion. In my book, Jack Nicklaus
did it better than anyone
else. How you lose defines you almost better than how you win. In my book, in terms of how you accept that defeat, and that's why you don't see it enough out of Tiger. He wins all the damn time. I want to see how he reacts to a Bob May making that putt and then him missing and him having to go over and congratulate that guy because Tiger, in that instance, gave it all on his on the line, and he didn't. It wasn't enough for him to beat somebody. That hasn't, in my book, that hasn't happened yet.
He's
beat everybody in a big tournament. He's won them all.
The only time he's missed in a playoff, I believe, the number is 16-1 career in playoffs. The only time was Billy Mayfair at the '98 Nissan,
right.
and that wasn't. Stakes weren't that high back then, and it was just the Nissan. One last point. I know we've really killed this point in this topic, but
it's a good one.
Here's a quote. I root for Goliath, but I want to see Tiger pushed. Here's a quote that really gives you that the idea that he might not be pushed as much as we're hoping. In an informal survey asking a dozen PGA Tour players which factors need to fall in place to beat Tiger, more than half of them put the first onus on Woods himself. So the first answer, what needs to happen for you to beat Tiger? The number one answer was he needs to play bad. It's not anything else. It starts with Tiger. Steve Stricker said, quote, he needs to be off of his game for one. And then if he's on his game, no one's going to beat him.
That might be.
I hate that.
That might
I don't
be
like
true,
that.
But you're right. Steve Stricker, why even tee it up? If you've got that thought, don't even tee it up because you're counting on somebody else not playing well for you to have a chance. You've got to go with the mindset. That's why I like Ogilvy. He doesn't fall asleep.
I love
asleep.
The quotes that Jeff has taught.
It's like, if I play my best and he plays his best, he's probably going to beat me. But I got to go out there with that mindset. Not if he's not playing bad, then I have no shot.
Yeah, Ogilvy's,
why are you even out there?
Ogilvy's saying this week, yeah, I'm impressed. We're all impressed. But I'm not in awe, and I realize I still got to go out and play. I don't think about Tiger when I go to bed.
Where are the young guys at, Russ, that have no fear, that don't care about all this stuff? J.B. Holmes, I know we're way over. J.B. Holmes playing in the Phoenix Open. Phil Mickelson, he doesn't respect Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson's probably a lot better player. But J.B. Holmes in that, to sink the birdie putt on 18.
Birdie
and then,
18 twice.
And then
birdie
it again in the playoff. He was like, in your face, Phil Mickelson, today you are not better than me. Nobody has done that with Tiger Woods yet. Nobody has said in a playoff or in a crunch situation coming down that, you are not better than me. They've all faded in that situation until somebody has the guts to say to themselves, I can beat you today, it ain't going to happen. And that's what drives me nuts. Guys, have somebody in their 20s, please come out and have no fear. At Aaron Baddeley in the final round at Oakmont, don't take a damn triple on the first hole. Come out with the mindset that you can compete with Tiger Woods that day. I want to see that, Russ. That's all I'm asking.
Well, today that 20-something could be
it ain't going to happen today either. They're both going to fold like tents. Trust me. These two guys will fold. I do like Ogilvy, though. Maybe he won't. But I want to see a younger 20-something guy with some power and out there and being like, Tiger Woods today, you are not beating me.
Ogilvy's young enough. He's 31. He's not in his 20s, but he's still young enough. He's 31. Adam Scott's 27. Perhaps those two could be the guy. Pat, the wry smile on your face gives me the indication you don't think it could happen. It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, on to topic number two.
That was a record for topic
Russ.
One. I
think that was a good one. We thought it was going to be a nothing.
I think I spent like 14 minutes on that topic. Jeez.
All right, we'll go.
Format out the window.
Format out the window as usual. Thank God we got the extra half hour today.